All right, can we move on? Again, shuffling agenda, why don't we go into underground space? item 7, there's a pilot study going on by government looking at optimising the use of underground space in certain strategic urban district locations. So why don't we have a briefing on that? Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Mr. Poon, Mr. Ng, and April. Welcome. Pilot study on underground space. Who is going to lead?
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, members, for giving us this opportunity to
Can I just interrupt you? I apologize. Just declarations of interest. Anyone involved in this in any professional capacity? I think indirectly we're probably all affected, so one way or another. So I think indirect interest, not to worry about, but any direct interest, anyone digging holes, helping CEDD? Peter?
Yes, I think we are involved in it.
All right, well, join the... Please, join the... stay in the meeting, but please don't participate in discussion. Sorry, on you go. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Okay, thank you, Chairman. We are very pleased to have this opportunity to talk about our work on the underground space development. Studies about underground space development were mentioned in the 213 as well as the 214 policy address. And there were indeed two studies. The first study is a characterized study to examine the opportunity of underground space development in the urban centers as well as in the new towns. It covered whole territories. And recently, there were some news reports about a cross harbor pedestrian link. It's part of this territorial study. The second study is a pilot study that examined the feasibility of underground space development in four specific areas. And this is the subject of today's discussion. Dr. Sam is responsible for the management of this study, and he will give a short presentation about the studies, and then after that, we will be pleased to answer any questions members may have. So I will now pass to Dr. Sam.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Sorry, I think you may need the mic. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to give a short briefing on this proposed pilot study on underground space development in four strategic urban districts. The background basically is because this traditional older business and commercial districts have already been densely developed. And in this older district, there's limited land resources that that have hindered the development potential and in improving the built environment. And this area, these districts are also increasingly facing traffic congestions. We believe that if we can develop underground space in a strategic manner, we will be able to benefit from the opportunities of creating additional urban space, which could be used for commercial or other community uses, such as recreational or even putting the transport, public transport interchanges underground. It can also help to relocate some of these facilities that perhaps are incompatible with the urban setting, such as refuse collection ponds. And secondly, the use of underground space can also help enhance our urban connectivities, particularly in these old urban areas, through the means of pedestrian-cum-retail links, or also in particular connecting with the existing or planned shopping malls, MTR station, and PTIs. Through the use of underground space, we can create urban area, create urban space, enhance connectivity. We believe we can then improve the urban environment by providing additional public space and providing better pedestrian environment. These are the two policy addresses that Mr. Poon have mentioned earlier, so I'm going to skip this slide. The four strategic districts that will be considered under this pilot study are the Tsim Sha Tsui West, Admiralty Wan Chai, Happy Valley, and Causeway Bay. And the main objective of this study is to evaluate the overall merits and key issues of underground space development. For this four strategic urban district, we'll formulate an underground master plan. And for each of these districts, we'll identify priority underground space project that could be perhaps take forward later on. And for them, we'll also carry out a develop conceptual design scheme and also prepare board technical assessment for these projects. And of course, we need to look into the cost effectiveness and financial viability of these priority projects. The reason for selecting these four districts is because these are areas that have gradually transformed from the older commercial and residential area to commercial entertainment and tourism hotspots. And as mentioned earlier, because of limited land resources, with this complex urban setting, is getting increasingly difficult to improve the built environment in these districts. And obviously with that, it's very congested, both in terms of pedestrian and traffic flow. On the other hand, older districts have quite a good coverage of transport system, both in terms of the major transport hubs and also existing MTR network, as well as planned MTR networks. And also this area also have some sizable open space or parks that we believe could provide opportunity for underground space development. The studies group basically is pretty standard in a way. We'll undertake planning study, engineering study, and technical assessments of the schemes that I mentioned, or priority scheme that I mentioned earlier. Because it's all related to very specific district, we'll have to undertake very extensive public engagement and consultation during the course of a study. And to firm up some of these schemes, we'll also undertake some site investigation works and supervision to confirm their feasibility. We have consulted the relevant district councils, the Wan Chai, Yao Jin Mong, Eastern District Council. Although the four areas do not fall within the Central and Wan Chai District Council, we did submit a paper to them too, because some of the areas, particularly on the western side, is quite close to the Central Western District. So in general, the district council support the study, but they do provide some suggestions, such as that we should address the potential traffic and environmental impacts. We should consider how this underground system can coordinate with the MTR and other above ground and underground developments. We need to try, as part of this study, to address the opportunity for improving the living environments of this district. And we should engage the district council regularly during the course of a study. As three of the strategic districts, partly fall within the harbourfront area, We will give due respect to the compliance of the harbor planning principles and the guidelines. Under the study, we will explore the opportunity to enhance connectivity and accessibility between the harbor front and the hinterland by the means of underground pedestrian lanes in the event that the surface connectivity have limitation. We will obviously continue to consult this commission during the course of study. We will be going to the panel on development next Monday. Follow that, we will seek endorsement of the PwC for upgrading the study in mid 21st of May, and follow that with the finance committee. We aim to commence the study in September this year, and to complete the study within 3 months. And so that's all I have to say, and we would like to hear your suggestions about this proposed study.
Thank you very much. I think you're going to get general support for what you're trying to do anyway. Could I suggest we'll ask a series of questions and we'll stack them up, and then you will respond to a bundle of questions from members. A couple of questions from me, or points from me. Practicality. I mean, I've always understood that underground congestion was a major issue to any initiative of this nature. We are full of foundations, pipes, ducts, cables, etc. How practical do you think this is in terms of underground congestion? And the other thing, which I'm not sure whether it's been thought of, but a number of properties are going to benefit significantly in terms of value from this particular initiative. You're going to improve and enhance connectivity. And in studies I've been involved with in other countries, those properties have been taxed. A levy has been levied, if you like, or not a penalty, but a sum of money has been levied from those who've benefited from these works. Because you are benefiting a certain, yes, this benefits the community at large, but you're also benefiting certain landowners to a major degree. And whether we should be, as a community, whether Hong Kong should be seeking to levy, if you like, some form of charge or some form of tax from those individual owners, because their property is going to be worth considerably more as well to your proposal. Just something I think Hong Kong should be thinking about. It's done in other countries anyway. Thank you. Members, any questions you'd like to ask? Paul?
I think it's in general a good idea to look at the underground as opportunities, but I'm a bit concerned about looking at districts from the perspective of how can I better use the underground. If you look at these districts are quite different. The Tsim Sha Tsui one has a reasonably developed underground network, and has been developed as linkages from the MTR stations, but that's it. And of course it could be a much better underground network, and we have an advantage there already. But in Wan Chai, the pedestrian network is above ground. The secondary network that we have is an above ground network. Shouldn't we improve the above ground network rather than the underground network? Should you not look at the strengths and weaknesses of each district and then see how they can be improved? I'm a bit worried that this study is being taken from the perspective, well, we have a park, so let's see how we can use it, rather than the perspective of how we fix Wan Chai. And then if you take the perspective of fixing, and we're looking at underground development, and taking the example that was put up by the chairman, the underground utilities and cables, are you looking at, for example, at taking all the utilities and cables and putting them all in common services ducts, so that we don't have to break open the sidewalks every time, and therefore we can reduce congestion on our sidewalks, because suddenly people are not finding the problems anymore of having these broken up sidewalks all the time. You know, that would be a great advantage, but then the objective would be set, I want to improve the district, how can I do that, rather than I have a park, how can I use it, which is, again, The third point I'd like to make is the development of underground spaces has its cost too. If you put people on the ground, if you put machines, equipment, and so on, it's getting better. But as soon as people are on the ground, you need ventilation shaft, fire safety exits. You need, and all of those have a very large footprint at street level, and therefore they may take up a lot of space at street level, further aggravating the problem of congestion at street level. So should that be a priority? I mean, people don't like to be like rats underground. I mean, they like to be above ground. Should it be the priority to remove everything that's an obstacle above ground, stick it underground so people have more space to walk around above ground? So change the priority around. The fourth point is on the issue of land premiums, and I would take the opposing view to the chairman there for 1 minute. We're not doing a lot of the underground work because of the way we're calculating land premiums, i.e. The underground network that we're planning for Causeway Bay is not materializing because we want to charge a lot of land premiums for people to connect, and otherwise you have to go and resume the land, the private land and exits through the private properties to connect to them. And it's kind of a dilemma that you're working with, and therefore we're not doing anything. We have a very spiny, kind of ugly plan for a Causeway Bay tunnel that doesn't make any sense. So are you going to try to figure out a way that if there is a public gain, you won't charge land premiums, and therefore find incentives for people to connect to the underground network and the property owners to participate in making sure that the whole network works, rather than penalize them by saying, well, it's going to be giving greater value for your property, so you have to pay $1 billion, and therefore they don't do it. And therefore the public ultimately will lose out, which is kind of what we see with the above-ground networks in Kowloon Bay and in other areas, where the things are just not materializing, or the tunnel between Sheraton Hotel and the Midden Avenue that didn't happen because this massive land premium that you were asking for, and therefore it didn't happen. So the land premiums maybe has another side to it, but it would be interesting whether that economic model and incentivizing and penalizing you're going to include. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate that some of these questions may be outside your remit, and you may want to take them away, so don't worry. Please, Maggie.
In the paper that we had, it said that the WCDC had expressed some reservations. Could you just say what they were? Because I'm quite interested to know why they particularly saw an issue, and perhaps not other districts.
Fine. Any other questions for the proponents? All right. Could you answer what you can, and by all means, if the things that you need to take away, say so. Don't worry, please. Thank you.
Thank you for the comments. Yes, we do know that there's quite a lot of underground obstructions, but we believe we're going to develop those larger parks, so we believe those problems will be, relatively speaking, will be less. And also, even for the Victoria Park, even though it's covered 19 hectares in area, we probably would not be able to develop the whole 19 hectares. So we can actually do some avoidance for areas that have a lot of underground obstructions. I respect to the how we deal with in terms of connectivity, who is benefiting to it. I agree with both your view and Paul's view, because if you look at it in overseas examples, there are examples that government have provided incentives for facilitating the public sector in connecting to this underground space, so just to relieve the congestions on the surface.
Right.
So we'll be looking in this area as part of the study, because we need to we can't have all the exits on government land. There's no question that to make it work, we need to have some connectivity with private sector development. Otherwise, we will get into the situation like Paul said, we will have excess funds coming everywhere, so actually it's occupying surface land.
Right.
So the more we can, say, connect with the MTR network or some private development so they can come out through the existing access, that would be the best in respect to not occupying too much surface space eventually under the system. But we'll look into that. We'll look into whether there's need for some enabling mechanisms to get the private sector involvement in this. Despite our study with respect to poor, despite our study is saying underground space development, we are not just looking at, for no good reason, going underground. We certainly only consider the options of going underground if we think the surface cannot provide or elevated railway cannot serve the purpose. We will take the whole thing in perspective, not just the underground, but the surface situation. Common surface access is something that we certainly look at, in particular for if you're going to, for example, develop some connectivity under some major road networks. So I presume in those places they're going to require a bit of utility. So if you're going to develop those area, I think obviously it will be reasonable to consider the opportunity of grouping them into a common utility at this. But that will all depend on specific project that we'll eventually select to do. I did mention earlier about that we need to be very careful in selecting how to get the ventilation shaft as well as the entrance and access point, just to ensure that we are not causing more problem to solving the problem by occupying access point in already crowded pedestrian walkway, then it wouldn't work. So obviously we will look into the how we select those area. With respect to May's about the reservation that they have is basically like what the chairman have pointed out. First one, they said they believe the underground space have a lot of obstructions, so to develop it could be quite difficult, and also it could be quite costly to develop it. But that's something that we would have to consider as part of the study about the cost effectiveness and the financial viability aspect.
Thank you. Further question on my right.
Yes, thank you, John. Just please. One minor just for this underground space. I hope this study will also look into how to make it sustainable. That means minimum energy, and you should explore how to utilize the underground and the temperature difference to create a ventilation. I assume the space will open round the clock because of public space or sometime, but I think the open hour is quite long, so the how to maintain the indoor environment is could be quite energy use. The second thing is try to maximize to provide contact to the external. That means void space, because people long time in underground, they lose direction. So that sort of external contact will help to improve the environment, and also could also help to give some green design inside the underground space. Thank you.
Two good, very good points. Please, Becky.
Thank you, Chair. I just hope to understand a bit more about the overall picture, because as I think a lot of us would understand, we have a lot of population decentralization over the past few decades, and the government has also decentralized a lot of government offices and this type of decentralized concentration where we want activities to be more dispersed. So I just wonder whether this is a change in the overall planning direction, because in the really urban core areas is already quite congested, overcrowded, both on the ground, on the transport system, you know, as well as all the other utilities. So if we are going to make use and create new spaces in the existing core areas, these activities will generate extra trips and other externalities as well. So I just wonder how all this fits into, you know, the more multi-centered type of development that Hong Kong has been moving on. Thank you.
Please.
Yep. Thank you, Chairman. I can read the word from the presentation, urban space, urban connectivity, urban environment, master plan, but I don't read any word of urban design. I totally agree with the Chairman's concern about the practicality of this study in terms of implementation, in the planning, in the design, in the construction. The example quoted in the Tsim Sha Tsui area, I believe most of us experienced the disturbance and the annoyance caused during the construction. So is that practical to repeat this kind of exercise in the study area such as Causeway Bay, Tsim Sha Tsui again? I also share the same question of other member, why in the old urban area? Because what in our city, what we are sort of wasting our land resources. Look at the West Kowloon reclaimed area. More than 40% of the reclaimed area were occupied by infrastructure, road, railway, and it's not utilized by the Hong Kong people in any other way. And I understood this is going to repeat in the Central Kowloon route. And look at Japan, how they do, or how they integrate the infrastructure, railway, highway with the livable space. And I think the government should really spend more energy on some more meaningful study than, you know, looking for something which is really not practical. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Please. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to raise, I mean, whether in respect of the traffic, whether issues like coach parking and then the what we call the short-term tenancy parking these days, many of the short-term tenancy land have been taken away. Mm-hmm. And that we can see that, I mean, the sort of occupancy rate of major car park have increased a lot. And that ultimately, I mean, more land have been taken back by the government, that issue of parking would become more severe. Mm. Whether this study will be able to address, I mean, these issues so that we can reduce the on-street parking, I mean, that we see in particular in the, I mean, tourist and the congested area.
Thank you. Right, I think I'll... Paul, very quick one.
Yeah, I'd like to support the comments that were made on, you know, get cars off the road, but the overall objective, and then is we got to get that sorted out here. If it's to create space for commercial development, which would then can pay the cost for doing the underground stuff, I think that would be a really bad one in those old neighborhoods. I think the overall objective should be to improve the urban environment, and on top of that, if it can help to enhance the urban connectivity. So taking the coaches off the road, taking the refuse collection points off the street, taking anything off the street that can make the street nicer for people to walk, that will be a great thing. Rather than putting building shops on the ground and making more walkways on the ground. So I think we've got to figure out a... before you do this study, I think you've got to have a project of sorting out the objectives of what could you do to improve the district, and then how could you use the underground space? What would be then the preferred way of making the urban improvements and then urban enhancements, and then say how can I use the urban space? And I have a feeling it's at this moment the other way around. We got space below our parks. We can put shops there that can get us some money, and then we can solve some other problems too. Which I don't, you know, I can see the bureaucrats and the finance bureau approving a project brief for you, but I don't think that is what the community needs. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to draw a line. Would you like to just respond to that second batch of questions? Thank you very much.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Well, as part of the study, obviously we do consider that being a sustainable development is important. We certainly would consider the latest technology of doing that. Obviously there's a lot of examples that we can borrow from overseas on that aspect. So certainly it's an area that we will look into. Respect to the centralizations or decentralization, I think the key point in this older district is already running out of space for any improvement. We can't just leave it. Any space, if you run out of space, it will eventually just stay the way it is. It can have no opportunity for improvement, even for the urban environment. So I think the key thing is the use of underground space is not just about creating commercial opportunity. Obviously, to make the vibrancy, we need to have that. we probably need to have also include recreational cultural activities, arts and everything that we can think of to keep people in those places. So we certainly are not just considering the commercial side of things. But a very important part of it is to making use of underground space to enhance our connectivities. Because in area that we can use this surface road, pedestrian walkway is fine. In some areas, it's simply there's need for an underground connectivities to improve the pedestrian flow. But I have to get back to the point that Paul mentioned. We are certainly not flipping the other way, just going underground just for the sake of going underground. Going underground is costly. Going underground costs money. So we are not just going underground for the sake of going underground. We will go underground if we think there's a need for doing it, and we'll do it wisely for doing that. With respect to urban design, so obviously if you're going to do that, we've got to consider the whole thing. And one of the reasons why we consider not just a scheme, an entire district, because if you consider the entire district, not just the Victoria Park, it gives us a lot of opportunity to consider the whole thing in its entirety, both in terms of space, connectivities. If you just focus on one scheme, like just all you're interested in is to convert the Victoria Park into commercial underground space, it wouldn't work because it would be limited in the scope, in its consideration of the urban design aspect, which is an area that we, again, will be considered under the study. We can't avoid, I have to say, we can't avoid creating some sort of disruption on the surface if we're going underground. But the fact that if we are focusing on making use of the larger open space that already exists, I think there's a much better opportunity for us to reduce the disruption during the constructions. Nevertheless, there will be disruption, but we will try to minimize this aspect as far as possible. And we certainly, for all the scheme that we're going to consider, we have a lot of opportunity for this commission and for district councillors to comment on, to give suggestions of how best to do it. And we will certainly take account of that. The traffic issue is about the coach parking, and that which in fact is one of the areas that all three districts that this council we went to suggest that this is an area we should look into, both in terms of underground parking as well as making use of underground space for coach parking, for bringing the people in and out without congesting the surface road. So this study, we hope to cover the whole area, every aspect we can think of. We don't have a lot of time, but we think that together with the territory-wide study that we are already commenced, which is we'll also cover some of these technical aspects that members have, I'm sure, have in mind and brought up in the meeting. We hope to, in a couple of years' time, we're able to give you some meaningful results, findings that the commission will consider it to be exciting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I think the request clearly is to keep us in the loop, keep us in the picture. As you say, it's a long study. It's a 30-month study. So I think updates from time to time will be very helpful. I mean, thank you for dealing so professionally, if I may say so, with the questions. One of the best series of responses that I've seen at the Commission, so well done. Thank you. Very. Minute that. for his next year's review. But thank you very much, seriously. Good luck with the study. I think we've strayed slightly from harbour planning principles, but at least you've had some constructive suggestions. So thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.